having me here. So I would like to discuss the higher spin symmetry in gravity and strain. So because it's a broad audience, so the first half of the talk, I will just review the old stuff. And the second half will be the work that I've been doing for the last 2 years. So I learned the subject from my collaborators listed here. All right, so what is higher spin symmetry? So higher spin symmetry here, gauge symmetry that sourced by the massless higher spin particles. So we know that massless particles are labeled by their spins, and they source gauge symmetries. So for the spin one, so we have photon, it source U1 symmetry. And for the three half, it's gravity node, it source supersymmetry. And for the spin two, it's graviton, has source diffeomorphism. And for particle, for massless particle with spin greater than two, so we haven't seen them in nature yet, but this is going to be the focus of my talk today. So the gauge symmetry that's sourced by the higher spin massless particle, this would be the called higher spin symmetry here. So why are we interested in this? So first, it can couple to gravity, and the result is the so-called higher spin gravity. And so actually, as I'm going to explain later, the fact that it even exists is quite non-trivial already. And correspondingly, the holography with higher spin is also has some very peculiar feature that that you don't see from the ordinary holography. For example, it's simpler than the ADS-CFT that you get from string theory. So for a while, people had the hope that it might be a ADS-CFT that's smaller than the string ADS-CFT, and might be some standalone ADS-CFT. And also, it is a weak duality instead of the strong weak duality that you get from the string ADS-CFT. And also, you don't need supersymmetry for that. You can have supersymmetry, but essentially, it's fine without the supersymmetry. And then this higher spin symmetry is a subsector of the string symmetry. So one might hope that understanding this higher spin symmetry might help you to understand the string symmetry and then the string symmetry. And also, it appears in many interesting quantum field theory systems, especially those that you get from the string theory. For example, it appears in the study of the topological string, and AGT can correspondence, and also the BPS algebras. Okay, so here's so roughly the will be three parts. So first, the higher spin gravity and holography, and the string symmetry, and then just the last part is going to be some fun part using the plane partition to build bigger symmetry algebra starting from smaller higher spin algebra. Okay. All right, so let me give you a brief review of the history of the higher spin study of the higher spin series. So people started by studying the massless higher spin particle in flat space. So the massless spin S field is described by the totally symmetric double traceless rank S tensor. And so it has the gauge symmetry is given by this rank S minus one, totally symmetric rank minus S minus one tensor, and with this traceless condition. So this double traceless condition is important for you to have an action principle. Also for this degrees of freedom counting to work. So with this, you can count the degrees of freedom of this massless spin S field. So here, D is the space-time dimension, and S is the spin. So you can see that it reproduced correctly the counting for the spin one and spin two for arbitrary dimension. And also you can see that for three dimension, all the higher spin field has 0 degrees of freedom. So this is going to be important later. And then people try to couple this to gravity. So for one reason or another, people couldn't get it to couple to gravity minimally. So the best they can they did is to have this non-minimal coupling to gravity. So this is all in flat space. So actually, there's some reason why they couldn't do it. So there's some various no-go theorem. So for example, there's this Kolman-Mandula theorem already in '60s, saying that if you look at the S matrix of interacting theory in flat space, actually you cannot have higher spin symmetries. So I mean, each time you have a no-go, you try to think how to evade the no-go. So Vasilev had this proposal that because it's this in particular this S matrix no-go theorem is for flat space, so you can go to the ADS space or the Sylow space. So then this no-go theorem that based on the S matrix wouldn't apply. And also there is some other no-go theorem. Basically says that if you want to couple it to the higher spin particle to gravity minimally, then in order not to break the higher spin symmetry, somehow you get an infinite number of higher derivative couplings. So, but now, if you're in the ADS or the Sylow, you have this ADS lens, where the lens of the ADS as intrinsic lens, which you can use as an expansion parameter to control this higher derivative expansions. So at each order, the theory become local again. So instead of a non-local theory, now you have a quasi-local theory. So this is the basic point of the Vasilev system. So it lives in under the Sylow or the Sylow space, and it has one field per spin from spin 2 to infinity, and it's an extension of the Einstein gravity. So the graviton couples to an infinite tower of massless higher spin particles, and the diffeomorphism, accordingly the diffeomorphism coupled to the higher spin gauge symmetry. So the corresponding geometry should be some extension of the Riemannian geometry, so-called higher spin geometry. But there's no Lagrangian yet. So the theory is given as a system of a coupled equation motion. So people don't know how to quantize the theory yet. Before I explain what the this system is, let's look at the much simpler version. So this you can think of this as the simplest higher spin gravity. So remember for the Einstein gravity in three dimension with the negative cosmological constant, it's equivalent to the Chern-Simon theory with two copies of SL2 Chern-Simon theory. So this is basically because there's no propagating degrees of freedom, and the theory is essentially topological. So now to go from the Einstein gravity to a pure higher spin gravity, you just change the 2 to n here. So the action is given by this two copy of Chern-Simon action with the gauge field inside SLn instead of SL2. So now
n is what number of?
It's a power. Yeah, number is the number of the. So now n is a positive integer greater than 2. So it's related to the highest spin you can have.
Yeah, highest spin.
Yeah, I'll explain the spectrum in the next page. So now if you want to translate to the metric light formalism, so you can define your dry band and spin connection in the same way as the pure gravity. And this metric is also defined the same way, the trace of the product of the the dry band. And for higher spin, you just have a more ease inside. You take the total symmetric product here. So for example, this is the spin 3 field. If you don't want to translate into the metric-like formalism, you can also see the spectrum this way. So first this is the SLn Chern-Simon. So first you choose a SL2 subalgebra. So that will correspond to your spin 2 sector. And then you decompose this SLn as a irreducible representation of this gravity SL2. So that will give you the spectrum. So the choice of this SO2, how many choices you have, that would depend on n. So, but for all n, there's always one choice such that when you do this decomposition, you always get one field per spin from two to n. So this is called principal embedding. So you see this principal embedding precisely correspond to the content of the Vasilievic gravity. So this is for the n equal to 4. So you have this is spin 2 sector and spin 3 and spin 4. Right, so there's no, as in the Einstein gravity, the SL2 case, there's still, it's still a topological theory and there's no propagating degrees of freedom. But also just as in the Einstein gravity, there can be non-trivial classical solutions such as black holes. So let's look at the black holes. So for the black holes in Einstein gravity, so we know that you need to have this cosmic censorship. So the singularity has to hide behind the event horizon. So, but then how do we define the black hole inside the higher spin gravity? So you see that you can't really use this old definition as in the metric formulation. So because in the higher spin gravity, as I mentioned earlier, the DFO will be coupled to the higher spin gravity. So then this, the concept of event horizon and singularity are no longer gauge invariant concept. So you can define one, and then once you do some gauge transformation, the singularity will get moved out of your horizon, or maybe just even the entire just horizon disappear. So then, how do you define this? Actually, in higher dimension, this question I think is still not settled. But in the three dimension, this can be easily answered. So essentially, the cosmic censorship is just a smoothness condition. So it just means that you can't see the singularity. Singularity is invisible. So, but in gauge theory, the smoothness condition just means that your holonomy along any shrinkable cycle has to be trivial. So when your shrinkable cycle is time, you solve this trivial holonomy condition, that then you can get the higher spin black holes. And when the shrinkable cycle is space, then you get a family of solution called conical surplus solution. So this you can think of as thermal ADS, but carry higher spin charges. So this would be the higher spin version of the thermal ADS. And just like in pure gravity, sorry, in Einstein gravity, this higher spin black holes and conical surplus, they are as dual to each other. And you can also start from either one of these and perform the SL2Z transformation. The monolithic transformation, you get the SL2Z family of the solutions. Right, so that was this SLN transignment theory. So that's the give you an example of how the higher spin gravity looks like. So start from there, you can try to get the Vasilievic theory in ADS3. So you start from the SLN transignment theory. So you replace this SLN, as I said earlier, in the principal embedding, it has the spin from 2 to n. So now you replace this Lie algebra by another infinite dimensional Lie algebra called HS lambda algebra. So this is infinite dimension, and it has a generator from spin 2 to infinity. And this lambda is a real parameter. So you can think of this as a continuous generalization of the SLN algebra. So in particular, if you set this n lambda to a positive integer, then this algebra truncates to SLN. Yeah. So and then you couple this with a complex massive scalar, then you get the propagating degrees of freedom. So this is the ADS3 case. So for the ADS D dimension greater than 4, so it then become harder. So first of all, the scalar cannot be decoupled because it's part of the higher spin multiplet. But similar to the ADS3 case, the theory is still based on the frame-like field, like the higher spin version of the dry band and the spin connections. And for the higher dimension, there's no Lagrangian yet. So then the question is, how do you quantize the theory? Right, so we know that if we have ADS of T, if I have a, if I know the safety deal of the theory, we can use the safety deal to help you understand the, this quantum gravity. So the safety deal to the Vasiliev theory with the higher spin gauge symmetry in ADS D plus one dimension will be a d-dimensional safety with a higher spin current. So this is two examples of the higher spin holography. So so Vasiliev's theory in ADS 4 is due to the ON model. And in the ADS 3 is due to the this WNK minimum model, two dimension here. So before I go on with the details, so let's mention some essential important features. So the first is that a strong weak duality? It's a weak weak duality. So to see this, you can write the gauge, rewrite the gauge theory parameter in terms of the gravity parameter here. So this is the your curvature, this is your string length, and this is your Planck length. So for the ordinary gauge gravity correspondence from the string theory, your string length is much smaller than the curvature. So then, so in this regime, when the gravity is weak, the gauge theory is strong. So, but for the higher spin theory, the range of the parameters that you take the string length much bigger than your ADS length. So then when your gravity is weak, your gauge theory is also weak. So basically, you can have the weakly interacting theory at the same point. Basically, that means that you can compute both sides of the duality and then compare. And then also this as I mentioned earlier, this this is a both of this is a basically bosonic theory. I mean, you can add supersymmetry on top of it, but that's not required unless you want to embed the embed this into string theory. And then also this is especially for higher dimension, the safety deal is essentially free. So this is you can think of this as an ADS version of the Coleman-Mandula theorem. But as I explain later, this also has is also not as simple as seems now. Right. So for all this very nice feature of the higher spin gravity and higher spin duality, there's still some very difficult problems. Since so why is that we don't have a Lagrangian for the theory? So it's hard to see how to directly quantize the theory without looking at the holography. So I mean, to establish a holography, you need to be able to define your theory, I mean, both sides of theory and independently, and then you can compare it. I mean, in particular, you need to have an independent definition of the quantum version of the Vasiliev theory. So that one we don't have yet. And also, even without this, there's still, we try to match the two, there's still some problem that I think is still unsolved. For example, this Lie's so-called line state problem. So there are some states in the CFT that will map to the gravity side. They correspond to very light classical solutions. So those you don't want. I mean, those will ruin your perturbation theory. So there have been some arguments says that maybe you take a different sort of a limit instead of tooth limit, so that those line state will map to the gravity side. They correspond to non-perturbative states, but then you have to explain why you have two different set of limit for the same CFT. So for part of states, you do one limit, and for some other states, you do another limit. I mean, that you also can't really explain. And then this is this non-locality problem is also. The question is how to write down the theory, including the interaction part of the Vasiliev's gravity, without looking at the CFT before you want to compare the CFT side. So that's as far as I know. There hasn't been a concrete prescription on telling you how to write down all the interaction yet. I mean, there's a question of how much non-locality you allow to have. I mean, now there are two streams. If you allow too much, then you basically everything you get mapped to a free theory. Or if you don't allow enough, then you can have any kind of interaction you want. There's also then there's no particular power. So this is a I mean otherwise we would have a ADS-CFT that's independent of string theory, which is smaller. So that I think that's why people would very interested in this whole theory. Apart from that, also there was hope that the UV. Yeah, but that's related that the UV behavior is better than the Einstein gravity, right? So so there are still people working on just solving this problem directly from the Vasiliev gravity, and but there's another approach that suppose you embed the Vasiliev gravity into the string theory, but that's part of already giving up the. Yeah, I wouldn't say giving up hope of just getting this higher spin ADS-CFT by itself without the string theory. But this is independent approach that, this is something else, but right now I just embed the Vasiliev gravity into the string theory and try to see how, whether we can resolve some of this problem mentioned earlier. So, before I talk about how to embed the full Vasiliev theory inside the string theory, let's first look at the symmetry part. So we know that the string theory has an infinite number of massive higher spin particles. So this mass proportion to the inverse string length. So now if you take the tensionless limit, meaning that you take the ratio of the string length to the ADS length to infinity. And then all this infinite tower of this infinite number of massive higher spin particle would become massless, and then they will source a gigantic string asymmetry. So the Vasiliev higher spin symmetry that I mentioned earlier, that which has one field per spin, that would be given by this the leading trajectory here. So, to see all this string asymmetry, you take the tensionless limit. So now, I want to show you that in order to see even more, you do something on top. So you focus on the ADS-3 competition of the string theory. So, because you know already for the pure gravity inside in the ADS-3 case, when you go from the bulk ADS to the boundary 72, there is already a huge symmetry enhancement. So basically, this is the isometry, just one copy of the one side of the isometry for the ADS-3. So that's SL2 given by this. And when you go from the bulk to the boundary, your SL2 get enhanced to the real sorrow. So that means that this mode, you extend this mode from both sides all the way to infinity. So now for the higher spin theory, the bulk isometry here is this HS lambda algebra that I mentioned earlier. So it's given by this field from 2 to infinity, all the way to infinity, and with the modes here inside this wedge. And then we'll go from the bulk to the boundary. So similar to the Einstein case, there's a huge symmetry enhancement that works by you just extend the mode all the way to the infinity. That's extending outside the wedge. Right. So how about for the string theory? Accordingly, when you look at the ADS-3 communication, when you go to either the dual CFT or the worksheet version, you also see this huge enhancement. So this, if you take the tensionless limit of the this ADS3 communication in the string theory. Then the algebra is given by the chiral algebra of this symmetric orbital for the T4. So one question is, so what is a good mathematical description of this this giant algebra here? But before, so without doing that, let me just first show you that this string symmetry is much, much larger than the higher spin symmetry here. So so roughly speaking, the to see the size of the conformal symmetry, I mean just the spin 2 part and higher spin part and string part. So you can, roughly speaking, this is counted by this the growth of this various partitions. So the various algebra is roughly counted by the growth of the partition here. And this is the asymptotic behavior of the partition here. And this is the Mike-Mahon function. And so instead of the square root of n, here is the n to the 2/3. And the string symmetry, it turns out that it's given by this double partition. Double partition is you take a positive integer and you first divide it into two pieces. And then for each piece, you have a partition. And then you count the number of choices. So this is a given, this is a generating function here. And this P is actually just the partition of N here. And this is the asymptotic behavior. So here it's N. So to help you appreciate how fast this is, actually let's do an exercise. So this is a partition of an integer. So this is labeled by the Young diagram. And for the three-dimensional partition, the so-called plane partition, so this is represented by the 3D stacking of the three-dimensional boxes. So you can just get a sense of how to count this by just stacking the boxes from an empty room. So this is stacking two boxes, the three choices, and stacking three boxes, the six choices. And you repeat this, so you get the Mike-Mahon function here. And this is the how far it goes. And to compare, you can compare this to the 2D partition. And then to the solid partition, the four-dimensional version of this thing. So, so you can see that I write it at order 6. So there's a reason that so Mike-Mahon actually had a conjecture on the closed form of the generating function for all the d-dimensional partition. So that was his guess here. So he checked that it works for the d equal to 2, and checked for d works for d equal to 3, the plane partition. And then for the solid partition, so it just expand, and so expand to here. And then you have to check, so he computed by hand. So he computed up to the order 6, and he computed to up to order 5. And then he didn't look at this one, but he published the paper. Right, so I don't know, this is a 1930 something. But I mean, even now the generating function for the higher d higher than 4 is still not known. Yeah, but people know the asymptotic behavior. So this is work out for general d. So it's inside exponent, you look at the exponent of the n here. So for the d dimension partition is given by this number. So you see that the growth of string symmetry, so this is n. This is actually faster than all the d-dimensional partitions. So this is an interlude. So, but now let's, I promised that I show you how to embed the higher spin theory inside the string theory. So for that, you need a supersymmetric version. So, The easiest case actually is the one that has the largest supersymmetry. So this the one that has the large n equal to 4 supersymmetry So is this Vasiliev system in the ADS3 quasi-S3 quasi-S3 quasi-S1? So the boundary is this rational CFT. It's called the Wolf coset. That one has a large n equal to 4 W infinity symmetry. So on the string theory side, so look at the tensionless limit of this string theory. So this the background, the solution is in ADS3 cross S3 cross T4. So now to compare this one, you also have to take this one to match this tensionless point. So to do that, you take the free limit. So when you take the free limit, essentially, this the size of S1 goes to infinity. So essentially, this S3 cross S1 becomes a T4. So on the field theory side, when you do this free limit, this rational CFT becomes continuous orbifold by T4 orbifold by un. So then this embedding on the field theory side just happens by the, is induced by the embedding the this Sn plus 1 inside the continuous group Un. So this actually just removed the light states. So the light states no longer a solution inside the string theory. So roughly speaking, so the light states correspond to the contiguous classes of the Un here. But most of them, they are not the contiguous classes of the Sn here. So this solved the light state problem. Okay, so basically that's all this gravity part. So now I change gear and I want to discuss the some work towards characterizing this string symmetry mathematically. So this is supposed to signify the moduli space of the string theory. So the rough picture is that there's a huge hidden string symmetry inside your string theory, and which you can make manifest by going to particular points inside modular space. For example, if you go to the tensionless limit and look at the ADS3 complication, you can manifestly see this large string symmetry. And another approach is that you go to some other points and you see other type of string, other type of symmetry structure that emerge. For example, there's some points that you see visibly the integrable structure. For example, you can ask whether there's any direct connection to the integrable structure to the higher spin symmetry. I mean, they both have an infinite number of conserved charges, but their mathematical structure are quite different. So whether there's whether you need both type of mathematical structures to characterize this bigger string symmetry. So that's the rough picture here. But today I'm going to focus on some much smaller goal. I just look at this particular isomorphism between one type of a higher spin symmetry with one type of a integrable symmetry or structure here. So this high spin symmetry I'm going to talk about is the high spin symmetry for the Vasiliev system in the ADS3. So that would be W1 plus infinity. So this is all this field. I do a mode expansion, and I want to write down all this mode here. So what's inside this wedge here? Those analyze the vacuum. And so here the red one is the racing operator and this blue one are the lowering operators. So now suppose I focus on these three columns in the middle. So this column is a zero mode. And this column is the racing operator, the level one racing operator. And this is the level one lowering operator. And so I define three fields, just combining these three columns. And also you see that of all these fields, there's only two that's out of the wedge. Right, so with this, roughly speaking, with this mode, it's the field that's composed by this mode, you can define this this integral type of the algebra, the alpha Young integral one. So this is a lot of stuff, but roughly you just need to know that this algebra has only two parameters. H is but it's written in terms of H1, H2, H3, but with them sum in over to give you zero. And there's one rational cubic rational function that enter the definition here. So you can do some initial condition and third relation, and you can use this diagram to remember this algebra here. So this algebra is isomorphic to the universal enveloping algebra of the W1 plus infinity, and this is a two-parameter family of algebra. So there are lots of advantages of why, I mean, we're more familiar with the W1 plus infinity. So I'll try to hurry up. So there are lots of advantages why we want to use this another version or another basis instead of the old W1 plus infinity. So first is, I mean, for the W1 plus infinity, we have infinite number of fields, generators. And for the alpha Young integral 1, you only need 3. And for the defining relation, we know that W infinity is a nonlinear algebra, and you can only fix order by Jacobian identities. But for the alpha Young integral 1, as I said, it's a one whole page, but it's just there. It's given explicitly. It's linear. And also, there's some S3 invariance that's important, but that's hidden in the W infinity basis. But for the alpha Young integral 1, that's just manifest. But most important for us is that this alpha Young integral 1 has a natural representation in terms of plane partition. So, but then by this error, you can also use a plane partition as a representation for your W symmetry here. So I want to emphasize this plane partition is not just the vacuum plane partition that we're familiar with, the stacking boxes form an empty room. So the interesting part is that you can also have the three directions. So in the three direction, you can fix the asymptotic of the asymptotic boundary condition of these three directions. So you can, namely, you fix three Young diagrams, and then you look at the minimal configuration of this given these three Young diagrams, that will be the ground state of your representation. And then you add more boxes, then that will be your excited states. So, and then this alpha Young integral 1 has a very nice, elegant action on this plane partition. So each plane partition is eigenstate of all this of this family of zero modes. And the raising operator just add one box, and the lowering operator remove one box. And I mean, and the way they act is all given by this eigenvalue function, which is also very easy to read out from your plane partition. And the only thing enters here is this cubic rational function, phi 3 there. So this is our bosonic triangle here. So to decide what to talk about now. I think I'll skip the, so this is just to show that there's this triality action that's very important in proving this holography here, which is hidden. But in terms of this other basis, it's just manifest. And then it's also easy to study the representation in terms of the plane partition. If you go via this alpha Youngian route. So, okay, I'm going to, using the last 5 minutes to...
The last 2 minutes.
Okay, but I think I started a bit later than the... to stain the gluing. So with this building block, you can actually use this plane partition to build bigger algebras. So I show the simplest example. So this is two vertices with one internal leg. So you have two copies and you somehow turn them, you join them. And so you fuse the two external leg into one internal leg. And at the level of algebra, so the building block, you focus, you know there's an algebra that's just with the W1 plus infinity, it's important that you use this Affinian basis, and the representation is in the as a plane partition. And for the glued algebra, so this for each internal leg, you have some additional operators here. And at the level of the representation, so that will correspond to this, this will give you the non-trivial internal leg, will correspond to the bimodule. That's transform under the two sub-algebras at these two corners. So do this exercise, you actually get the two-parameter family of the glued affine onion for this simplest case. And you can repeat this for bigger diagrams. So also this algebra relation fixed completely just by demanding this algebra should act on a suitably chosen subset of a pair of plane partitions that we call twin partition. So this is a very powerful tool. I will skip here. This shows that everything works, and it shows that the steps, how you glue this. But the upshot is it's very useful, the plane partition, very useful in the gluing process. It helps you to visualize the Fock space. And the whole algebra is just is kind of like a bootstrap. You just define the whole algebra. You just can define by looking at how the algebra should act on this the set of plane partitions. And there's some applications here. So okay, let's summarize. So I mentioned that so first I explained that it's possible to define gravity coupled to higher spin gauge symmetry in ADS or the CEDAR. And the simple example is this SLN SLN chain symmetry. And high spin holography is special. It's simpler than the stringy ADS-CFT. And it is a weak duality so that you can check both sides. And there's no need for supersymmetry. And then I discussed I compared this high spin symmetry with this stringy symmetry. And this Vasiliev's higher spin gravity with all these problems, hope to solve this problem is that you can embed this into the string theory. And on the side of string theory, taking this tensionless limit and go to the ADS ray, you can see a large string symmetry of which the Vasiliev higher spin symmetry is a subalgebra. And also this should pose a strong constraint of your theory. And then I change gear and discuss this one example of this higher spin symmetry. I propose that it's much easier to look at this other basis, this Affine-Yangian algebra. So it's easy to study it's easier to study the representation and truncation I didn't mention, also in particular the gluing process. And then there's one example that you can use this gluing procedure to build a two-parameter family of a new W symmetry. And the process, you can see that there's some constraint from the plane partition actually match one-to-one very nicely to the constraint that come from the toric diagram of your PQ web. And okay. So some open problems. So well, any deeper relation between the higher spin symmetry and integral structure and how it helps us to understand the mathematical description of this huge string symmetry and some applications. Okay, so thanks.
Do you have any questions? In that case, you're still making out time for the coffee break. Excellent. Let's thank Brady again. And